type meeting. Hand it over to Jeff to do his roll call.
Very good. Don, Commissioner Whitehead?
Here.
That I can do. Crystal Myers for Jim Guinness?
Here.
Richard Hilburn, I understand, will not be here. All right, Steve Martin?
Here.
Tony McNeil?
Here.
Bob Vincent? Not here. Scott Waltz?
Here.
Jeff Wazlowski?
Here.
All right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of 9 voting members. That is a quorum. I'm sorry, that's 7. 7 of 9, so we have a quorum. Also, point out that Commissioner Gatlin is here as a non-voting member pending appointment, and we also have Michelle Haynes is here for DPR as a non-voting member at this time as well. So feel free to participate in discussions. Very good. So let's go ahead and proceed.
I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the agenda as posted.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? I'd like to have a motion to approve the meeting minutes as posted. Captain Scott. And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. That's it. Okay, Jeff?
All right. Thank you, Don. Appreciate it. All right, so we're going to get started. I'm going to explain the process we're going to use, then I'm going to turn it to Mo to orient this to the materials, and then we'll begin. We'll be starting with modification 7209. So the process we use, the purpose of this particular phase of the process is for the TAC to provide the commission with comments on the public comments that were received on your package of recommendations. Now, you'll be voting today whether you support the comments or not on a straw poll basis. But that will be signaling the commission at their August 13th and 14th meeting that, you know, the comments were addressed your initial concerns, and de facto you would have reversed your vote. And so the commission will understand that. The TAC chair, in this case Don, will pull those off, and then we'll explain to the commission what your intent is, regardless of what your initial recommendation was, whether it was for denial, and it turns out that the comment was addressed your concerns, and now de facto it would be for approval. So that's the purpose of this. So after each modification is called in turn, I'll ask the proponents to address their alternate language that they have, or general comments that they have. They'll be provided 3 minutes. Opponents will be provided 3 minutes. If there's pros and cons, and the proponent wishes a rebuttal, each side will have one collective opportunity for rebuttals. We're asking in general, if there's others who wish to speak on it, just to raise their hands in support or not in support, unless you have new points to make. So if you just generally agree with what the proponent or opponent said, just state that, and that will suffice sufficiently to signal to the TAC that there's 6 people who support or don't support the modification. Will have the same power coming up and spending 3 minutes each. But if you do have new comments and new points to add, then feel free to come up and provide them. That's at your discretion. We found that it works pretty efficiently, though, when folks signal, and I can sort of acknowledge the signaling from the audience, from the public, and then that the TAC will have that, the record will have that, and that will, it has, and really does the same job as coming up over and over and over again. Although we don't have a lot of people here, so that's probably not a big problem. I'm asking the proponents if there's alternate language to first say I'm addressing alternate 2, and I'm asking for you to approve the alternate as standalone or the alternate plus the original language so that we understand what you're asking. So when I come back to the TAC, okay, so we heard from the public, then if you support the comment, which in this case would reverse your initial recommendation, you'll raise your hand. If you don't support the comment, in the interest of retaining your original recommendation, then you'll raise your hand. So if the vote reaches a 67 2/3% in favor, then that will be a favorable recommendation. If it doesn't, that will be not in support of the comment. There may be some comments that are general and require no action, and we'll ask whether, then I'll sort of cue you. So no comment is needed. If you support no comment, you need to raise your hands, and then we'll have a vote that way. So that'll provide the recommendation to the commission that there was nothing required. For instance, you might have a comment that says, I support the modification, and you approve the modification. There was no comment needed. However, if there was a general comment that said, I want you to reverse your action, I think you should approve the modification, then we will respond to that. You either support it to reverse your original recommendation, or you don't support it to retain it. And I'll explain that each time, sort of set you up so we can be clear on what you're actually voting for. It can be a little confusing since it's a non-binding straw poll, but not actually reversing your recommendations. But we've done it before, it's our seventh time. We'll do it again. Okay, any questions on the process?
That's right.
There was one last thing, sorry. We're asking that you not make any modifications of the comments today, that you take them as they are, yes or no. The commission will make recommendations at the August 13th and 14th meeting in Hutchinson Island. Let's have Mo provide us orientation.
Yeah, good afternoon. My name is Mo Madani, and what I'm going to do today is really introduce the material to you. As you have seen from the metrics that available from the agenda, for special occupancy, there is two documents uploaded. There is the tracking charts, and also there is the detail rewards. The tracking charts is really it's a summary of the code change information about the comments and how the TAC would provide us with their take on the comments. So if you, for example, if you have the tracking chart available for you, you will see like under code change 7209, there is the name of the proponents. There is a summary of the code change along with a comment, and there is three choices for providing your concern. One is, if you support the comment, then you would choose number one, support the comments, comments sufficiently address the tax concern. Number two, if the comment as submitted you do not support, then you would say number two, do not support comment. Comment does not address the tax concern. And another type of response could be no comment is needed. Number three, which is really if somebody submitted a comment to say I support this code change and the code change already approved, you would say no comment is needed. At this meeting, we are not changing the, as Jeff said, the tax action. We're only kind of providing the commission your feel about the comments submitted, whether you support it or not. There's two type of comments you're going to see in the report, the detailed report, which we'll go through in a second. You're going to see alternate language and sometimes general comments. And for you as a proponent, you need to let us know if there's an alternate language, whether you want us to, in the comment, include the alternate language plus the original or only the alternate language. So that's really the tracking chart. The tracking chart is in Word, so it's a Word document, so you can edit or record your comments into it. But the staff, Marlena here, will record your take on the comments into this document, and this is what we'll be publishing on our website as an outcome for this meeting. So I'm gonna mainly go down, and then I'm gonna go to the special occupancy detail report. The detail report, which is what you see on the screen there, is what we're gonna use at this meeting to go over these code changes. For for this tag, there is 17 code changes that is really you took action on in March, and you have comment on them that was received during the second 45-day comment period. And as you say, for example, mod 7209, the first one. as you see in the report, it says it gives us really that this mod was approved as modified. So in this case, you're going to see first thing is a text it says, which is labeled as 7209 R1 revision. This means that after the March meetings, after you decided to approve it with certain amendments, staff went, you know, back and modified the original mod to add to it the modification as approved by you in March, and then published what we call a revision one to it. So that's really what we have at this point. This is what you approved. And if as you go down in the chart, you will see that is you will see the alternate language that was submitted under the first comment period. Then you see the comments submitted under the second comment period, mostly general comments, where I see, you know, in terms of you know, some people supporting the code change, some people don't. So it's really kind of these are the general comments. And then also there is alternate language from the last time. So then you will, after the alternate language, when you see the original text of the mod and so on. And then also if there is somebody submitted, like for example an attachment to the general comment, you see it also after the text of mod, the original text of mod. So that's what you have in this for this code mod, and the same thing for the rest of the code mods in this report is structured the same way. And that the way these are structured, or the report is structured, first you're gonna have all the approved as amended together, and then all the approved as submitted together, and then all the no affirmative recommendation together, and all the one I would have drawn together. Any question about the detail report? Yes, sir.
I don't have it.
You don't have it. We just need to bring it up for you. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good. All right. You good, Mo?
Yes, sir. We're good. Yes, go ahead.
And Mo may have mentioned this, but the Control F function, if you just put the number of the mod in there, it'll pop right up. You don't have to scroll through the pages and make the documentation. Okay, so we're going to start with 7209. In this case, there's two general comments. One is basically requesting to reverse it, and one is saying to keep it as it is. We will vote in the end on whether to reverse the original recommendation, which is comment G2. Brian, say your name, record, and we'll go.
Thank you very much. Brian Holland, representing the National Electrical Manufacturers Association. I'm speaking in support of general comment G3 and opposition of G2. And since they oppose each other, they balance out, and you can do no comment, as far as I'm concerned. In all seriousness, what G2 does is they're asking for you to overturn the entire rule. They're applying this to the existing requirement for LPSs in hospitals, and they're not addressing the comment itself. So I don't think the comment's valid. I don't think that proponent understands that if you overturn the original proposed modification, it just goes back to the existing language now and doesn't change any of the rules. So just asking to hold the line, and I think those editory changes make it more usable, more enforceable, and improves the code, and none of the issues that they brought up apply. Thank you so much.
All right, anybody else wish to speak on 7209, either in favor or against? Skip, come up here.
Yes.
Are you
In favor of his position, against the G2 comment.
Okay.
I would just like to support what that is. My name is Skip Gregory, Health Facility Consulting. I've been in health facility regulation with the state of Florida for over 30 years. We have lightning protection in these buildings, hospitals, nursing homes, and ambulatory surgery centers to protect the patients, not the building. That comment had to do with something about there have been no fires reported because of lightning strikes and so forth. Fires have really nothing to do with this, or very little. It's the electrical system, the central electrical system that supports life. in these healthcare facilities that we want to maintain. So we appreciate the upgrade to this proposal that's already been approved, and we support going forward.
Okay. Anybody else wish to speak either in favor or anybody against? All right, coming back to the TAC, I think we could do it either way, but maybe the cleanest way is to refer to comment G2. So if you support G2 and want to reverse your recommendation, you raise your hand. Say none. And if you want to retain your recommendation, raise your hands now. All right, so it's 0-6. There's 6 members, voting members, not in support of the comment. Of comment G2, that is, and in support of comment G3, de facto. Okay. We move on to 7803. Skip, you're next. You have an alternate 7 language.
Oh, yes, 7803.
So you have to say your name again
for the record. Yes. Skip Gregory with Health Facility Consulting. This is only an editorial correction for this section. The section of this paragraph was accidentally changed from the original modification from section 449.3.2.3 to section 450.316.2. Section 449 is for hospitals, and section 450 is for nursing homes. The modification 7954-A1 is for nursing homes. This modification needs to be for hospitals, so this is simply an editorial change, marking out 450, which was incorrect, and inserting 449.3.12.2.
So is this a standalone, or is that in addition to the original mod? It's a standalone, I think.
It's a standalone.
Okay, anybody else in the public wish to comment in favor? Anybody in opposition? Coming back to the TAC, if you support alternate 7 language, raise your hands, please. That's 6, everybody, 6-0 in support of the comment. All right, Mr. Holland, you're up next. This is 7218. Again, this is a similar situation. One is saying reverse. Brian St. Keith.
Brian Holland, National Electrical Manufacturers Association. Same issue as 7209. Comments G2 and G4 are applying to the existing rule and not the comment. G3 just recognizes that the modification simply corrects the language but doesn't change, add, remove, or do anything to the rules under SREF. So please support G3, oppose G2 and G4. Thank you.
All right, any additional public comment, favor, or opposition? Back to the TAC. If you support your original recommendation and don't support comment G2 and G4, please raise your hands. Don't support the comment, then you raise your hands now. So it's 0-6 and not in support of the comments G2 and G4. Ryan, we have a similar situation here on 7255.
Brian Holland, NEMA Codes and Standards. 7255 is identical to the last two we just did, except now we're dealing with nursing homes. G2 and G4, asking for opposition on that, and support G3, exactly same issue. Just clarifying language for the rule that already exists, not changing anything, and the comments that have been submitted don't apply. Thank you.
So if you support G2 and 4 reversing your language, you would vote now. If you don't support and you want to retain, raise your hands now. So it's 0-6, not in support of G2 and G4. All right, Skip, your next. And this is 7637. You have an alternate 2 language and also a G1 comment. 7637. Kind of similar to what you did previously. 7637.
Page 28 gives the amount of comment.
You had alternate language.
You submitted new alternate language.
I can't see the alternate.
Let me see, I can pull it up here for you.
It's right there on the screen.
It's the same kind of issue as before, you were changing the numeration as editorial.
Took out 46432.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's, excuse me. Thank you, sorry. Yes, that's a, this is an editorial change only, just correcting the numeration of the paragraph.
Okay.
Just to make it correct.
Comments on this, fine.
Yep.
This has came up at the last meeting, and I just wanted to make sure, I thought A2 would be the right way to go. But I think really what happens is that, assuming you wanted A2 with the original is what's really I have concern about, because it revises the accessibility code. This is the one where you're mainly stating that the assisted living facility shall meet the accessibility requirements for a residential facility as described in 233. The accessibility tag really recommended no affirmative recommendation on this because we have no authority to revise the accessibility code as there is.
This A2 is just changing the paragraphing of that paragraph. I don't want to, no, you already approved the paragraph as it was.
Yeah. All I'm saying to you is that we still have the same concern.
I think Skip wants A2 to be standalone.
No,
right.
He doesn't want, I don't, do you want A2 a standalone without the original?
Yes.
You already approved the original. This is just correcting the paragraphing.
I didn't ask you a question. Is A2 a standalone?
I don't exactly know what that means, but I think so. Yes, A2, I think, was correcting this.
And you don't want section 464.3.2?
So when Mo says a standalone, it means you're only asking for that language, forgetting about the original modification. This is a replacement entirely for the original. If you want this plus the original, you would ask for A2 plus the original. And Mo is saying there's problems with the original, his recommendation, which would go against the accessibility tax recommendation for that section that you added to reference in the accessibility code. So if you want A2 as a standalone, it's not a problem.
What was the original modification? Was the accessibility that it already? I'm sorry, I don't have that up on my screen.
Then 464.3.2. It said it has to meet the requirements for residential facilities as described in section 233 of the accessibility.
All I was trying to correct is the numbering of the paragraph. That the paragraph that was the original modification that was approved by the TAC, I don't want to change that.
Okay. So what you're asking is for the TAC to approve the alternate with the original.
Yes.
Because the alternate corrects a portion of the original, but you still want the balance of the original there. And Mo is describing that there's an issue because the accessibility TAC didn't support this because of that one provision. If you only have the alternate, that would probably fly for them. So it's your choice as long as you understand your decision.
I want to both things. I want the original paragraph that was approved by the TAC.
Recommended
for approval by the TAC last time. This was just trying to correct the numbering of the paragraph. That's all.
Okay, fine. Anybody else in the public wish to comment? All right,
Don? I just want to say that Larry Snyder in the accessibility TAC expressed concern about your addition of section 46432, which specified section 233 of the Florida Accessibility Code, because you're directing them to a specific section of the accessibility code, which you can't do as part of the Florida Building Code. And that would be changing the accessibility code, which you can't do.
Ooh.
And so I just want to let you know that when it comes up to the commission, we're going to be voting against it, probably, because of his concerns.
Can I respond to that?
That's up to the chairman.
Yes, you go ahead.
Thank you. There is an issue here because the accessibility code does not identify assisted living facilities, nor does it identify hospices, inpatient hospices. for years, inpatient hospices has directed in the Florida Building Code to use, to go to the section on hospitals and use 10% accessible. No one has ever raised an objection about that. It's been in the code for at least 20 years that way. So I'm not, this is purely trying to clarify where an assisted living facility should fall in the accessibility code, because it gets different interpretations by different building officials throughout the state. Some want to apply nursing home standards. Some want to apply hospital standards. Some want to apply residential standards. And it's a continual argument about what the accessibility code should do, because the accessibility code does not recognize assisted living facilities as a occupancy type.
Okay, so you have the right to request what you want them to try to approve. What Mo is trying to do is let you know that there's some opposition to the accessibility tag, and the way to avoid that would be to go to polling your options. If you want to vote, that's completely fine, and the vote we'll see where the vote goes. Justin, did you have something to add?
Well, I was going to just emphasize, I think what I may have discussed here and what may have been discussed in front of the accessibility tag, and I've tried to speak with Mr. Madani about this issue and understand it. And basically, I mean, if there's confusion about the application of an accessibility code provision, then the commission has the authority to issue a declaratory statement on that. It's given that authority, but it should not circumvent that process by inserting provisions that ought to be contained within the accessibility code and the Florida Building Code instead. And that's kind of where the guidance and the concern will be with respect to this particular issue.
Can I respond to that? I have a question. I thought that the declaratory statements could not be made, or could be made only on Florida-specific accessibility issues. This is not a Florida-specific accessibility issue.
No, not really. It's open now. You can do it both.
Since when?
Since a while ago. You can do it. It used to be that way, but now I think if you read the sections on interpretations from the statute is wide open. We issued a number of deck statements on the application of ADA as it relates to Florida specific requirement or ADA. We have, the commission has the authority to issue a declaratory statements on accessibility code.
Okay, so
look,
I think
we
should do
that. Because I think that's what I was trying to tell you last time. It's best this to be handled through a declaratory statement process. If it's a matter of clarification, then you try to revise the accessibility.
What do you do with a section in the code for under hospice units that have been in there for the last 20 years? The exact same thing, pointing to a particular area in the accessibility code to apply to a hospice, since the accessibility code does not recognize hospice as an occupancy.
I need to revisit that, but I think really at this point, all I'm saying to, I think what, it's, if you can stay, as Jeff said, it's up to you.
You understand the situation, TAC understands it. So any further clarification, TAC members? So if you support comment A2, which is to revise A2 plus the original, which is to revise enumeration and retain the original, please raise your hands. If you don't support the comment, raise your hands.
You have to do two things. You have two choices. One is to go with A2 plus the original, or just go with A2. If you feel like, if you feel that you should, you need to go with the accessibility that would say, hey, you cannot revise the accessibility, you can go with A2 only, and that with, then in this case, you'll be okay.
And that would change your original recommendation to just A2 without the other language.
Yeah.
So if you support comment A2 as a standalone, raise your hands.
What was the vote on with the original?
0-6.
It's now 6-0, which is in essence reversing their original recommendation in favor of alternate one, in favor of the original proposal. So it's now corrected for the first part, but the second part is not included. That's the tax recommendation. Okay.
So it goes back to the original language that's in the building code now?
No. It goes to A2 and only A2.
Okay.
And it deletes out the section because it's not there anymore. It's only A. So you've got A2 in the code as corrected, but not the second piece to it. That's their tax recommendation. All right, the next one, skip, is 7640. We have alternate one language.
I'm trying to find 7640, just a minute. Okay. I don't know why I don't. I thought I had these down. I'm sorry. This is correcting the specific areas that we want to be sure to identify in the guidelines for office-based surgery. That's all it's doing.
Okay. Anybody else in the public wish to comment? Saying none, back to Zach. If you support comment A1 as the alternate language, raise your hands. All right, so it's 6-0 in support of the comment. All right, Scott, you're next. At 8212, you have alternate one.
Who's that?
Scott.
Oh, Scott, okay.
And it's a standalone proposal, which is revised from the previous one.
Yeah, this is to revise the air code to incorporate the rule in the past to require all the world to have generators to support their equipment.
Okay. Anybody in the public wish to comment? Favor or opposition? Back to the TAC. If you support alternate one language, raise your hands. Okay, 6-0 in support of the comment. Very good. All right, Scott, you're up again on 8221, alternate one language.
Yes, I'd like to support the comment.
Okay.
Skip Gregory, Health Facilities Consultant. Excuse me.
Sorry. Anybody else in the public? Anybody in opposition? Saying none, back to the TAC. If you support alternate one, your hands raised. All right, vote 6-0 in support of the comment. Very good. Scott, you have another one, 8242. You have comment A3, and Skip has comment A2. So we need to determine whether one supersedes the other, even calls or what. 8242.
It's my understanding you went to A3. I think this is something that you revised after Skip did his. Recall that?
Transport is for medical unit system section.
Yeah, yours is the primary A3. Like, yes, this is to modified requirements. The 22 FDI guidelines have been revised, the reference to the correct reference. It also removes some of the rule which is no longer necessary because it's now superseded by the language of the reference standard.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on Skip? You submitted a comment A2. Does Scott's A3 address it sufficiently? Are you supporting that or are you pushing for A2?
I can't. This is A242, comment A2?
It's 8242, and Scott submitted comment
right.
A3.
Yeah.
Bo thinks that he submitted that after years and should address it. You should make sure that's correct.
I think mine was the same thing.
Slight differences.
Oh, I don't see it on here.
He made certain correction to it, to yours, to A2.
I must not have the latest stuff in here, not seeing the comment.
So he did, Scott did his comment after yours and made a few revisions, using yours as the base, correct, Scott, mm-hmm. as a template.
So he is transportable.
Sorry.
So there's A2 on the screen. There
I can't
is.
Find it.
Can't see it, though. And then here's A3 if you want
to. A3 is there.
They're added up there.
It's very large.
So he's got the same as you, except for some minor difference.
Put transportable in there.
One paragraph that's left off.
Right.
One paragraph that's
Jimmy. We're gonna get you a computer to look at.
Where's
Bob's over here?
That's all right. I'll go on.
Mr. Gray. Here, just put your computer over. So we are. This is what you
this
is what you did.
A2.
And
yeah, that's what I got.
And this is what Scott did. Right here in
So Skip.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the one that you had meant to modify, and you were unable to do it, so I logged in and I made a comment and made an alternate. I believe A3 should capture your intent.
You did it at your request, very simple.
Yes, A3.
All right. Going back to the TAC, in support of comment A3, raise your hand, please.
By itself.
Correct. 6-0. Okay. Scott, you have 82A, comment A2.
I'm sorry, that was A3 standalone?
Yes. This is A2 from Scott. It would be standalone as well. But I'll let Scott speak to that.
Okay. So this one also addresses a rule that was put into place, this is for ALS, requiring a generator support their equipment. This responds to the response to a comment received from the public changing the temperature requirements to a more reasonable level and allowing a temperature up to 85 degrees and non
Resident for the
areas.
Okay, anybody else about which comment? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I can talk from here. Susan Anderson, from the association.
And thank you, Mr. Waltz, for making that change. I agree with A2. And I'm not sure exactly the protocol, but I have a few more comments to make, maybe to tweak some of that language. So would I do that now or at a different period?
We're not in the process of tweaking here, so you would make those comments once they're posted, and it would have to go to the commission, and the commission would have to decide whether to pull it and make them and make those revisions.
Okay, and I'll work with you on that. So thank you for making these changes, but I would suggest supporting A2.
Okay. Anybody else in public wish to comment? All right, coming back to the TAC, if you support comment A2, raise your hands. All right, 6-0 in support. Okay. Somebody has called in on the phone. Could you identify yourself, please? Is there anybody on the phone who wishes to comment? Is somebody from the public on the phone?
Yes, Aaron Rossica, but I haven't heard anything that's been going on, just to make you aware.
Yeah. Aaron, we had you on mute. This is an on-site meeting today, and we had the phone there just in case. We had somebody who saw the first notice in the FAR. So are you just here to listen in?
That's correct. I'm just not hearing anything, just to make you aware.
Yeah, but you can hear us now.
Correct.
And then we're gonna put you on mute, okay?
Absolutely fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And just so you know, you're the only person actually on the phone. As Tom said, we're here in Tallahassee with a work with the public in attendance. All right, we move on to mod 7211. Comment from Mr. Collins on A2. Brian.
All right, 7211, Brian Holland, NEMA Code and Standards. I'm asking you to support alternate language number 2 and comment G10 and oppose G5 through G9 and G11, with one of those being a repeat. So what I did is, during the original modification, is I looked at a gap in Chapter 4 of the Florida Building Code of similar type occupancies based on scale, scope, the vulnerabilities of the occupants, and how they're used, and recognize that we have hospitals, nursing homes, public education buildings, large campuses, large roof plates, vulnerable occupants, all have lightning protection systems. Then we get to assisted living facilities, and we do not have that criteria. I submitted a proposal to put in language identical to what's required for those other three occupancy types, and it was rejected by this group due to stakeholders indicating that they don't believe assisted living facilities should be treated like healthcare facilities, and that wasn't a point. Educational facilities aren't healthcare facilities, and they have lightning protection systems. And the second thing was, well, sometimes these are really small. They're residential type structures, less than 8 beds, and it would be like in a neighborhood. So I took those comments to heart, and I came back with alternative language 2, which puts in an out, essentially for those small, low risk, low hazard assisted living facility occupancies. And what that exception does, it says the design professional, the building owner, whoever, can do a simple risk assessment. They put in all the criteria that's required on both sides of the equation, and the NFPA 780 will clearly indicate whether or not a lightning protection system is recommended for that structure based on the criteria that's inputted. So it's very specific to the site, the geography, the construction components, and everything that's inside that building, and the risk that owner is willing to give up. So they put all the inputs in, and that will tell them, and that would be their out. They would submit that to the building department. The building department would see that they've done the risk assessment and there's no lightning protection needed. They move on with the project. However, when you do have those large-scale, multi-structured, large occupancy assisted living facilities, where those persons are needing assistance to live, assisted living facility, they probably need assistance to evacuate. So that's my big concern with these type of occupancies. Those would likely need a lightning protection system, and that rule would then be invoked. So again, I think all the other comments or statements that are made about the NFPA 780, the validity of that document, it does not apply to this. We've been adopting that standard in Florida since 2001. And there's going to be some things about the cost with the emergency generator rule and all those things, and I think we should keep those separate. Those are silos. The Hurricane Irma emergency rule by ACA and the Department of Elderly Affairs is an issue, and that should be addressed separately, and now not tie every future rule to apply to assisted living facilities because of that rule. So again, asking you to support A2, it addresses all the issues that the stakeholders were opposed to the first round. Thank you.
All right, does anybody
else
wish to speak in favor of A2? Anybody in support? John
Farinelli. Support A2, John Farinelli, JC Code.
All right. Anybody?
Joe Belcher, Florida Home Builders Association, requesting that you maintain your action of NAR. I have never done a NFPA 80 risk analysis on a building. However, I was on the lightning protection work group that the commission appointed to determine whether or not we need to put lightning protection requirements in the building code. On that group, there were some building owners on the group, and there were electrical people and other people. My recollection is one of the building owners said that when you do that risk analysis, there's almost no buildings in the entire state that would not require lightning protection. So that's a kind of a, Brian's calling it a way out, but it's not really a way out. It's just you're going to have to pay somebody to do a risk analysis, and in 90% or better of the time, it's going to come up that you do need it. So why have done it to begin with? So we're asking that you maintain your NAR. Thank you.
All right. Brian, you want to rebuttal? Is there anybody else in opposition first? Okay, come on up. Sorry.
Susan Anderson, Florida Senior Living Association. We represent assisted living communities in the state. There is a difference between nursing home hospitals and ALFs. ALFs are not mini nursing homes. They are not in the healthcare facility occupancy type. They're in a board and care facility occupancy type. They are built differently. They house different types of residents, right? So you can't require 24-hour nursing supervision and be in an ALF. You're not appropriately placed in an ALF. So the idea that that the power goes out or is affected by a lightning strike and you're put immediate life jeopardy is not correct in assisted living facility. Those residents are not supposed to be there. The residents that are there that do need oxygen, now we have generators to provide the power if in case a lightning strike occurs. So there's no reason to have these additional requirements for lightning and surge protection in assisted living.
Okay. Anybody else wish to speak in opposition? Brian, do you want to rebuttal?
Yeah.
And then if the opponents want to rebuttal, one of the two of you can decide whom that would be.
All right. Brian Holland, NEMA Codes and Standards. On the Mr. Belcher's comments, there's not less than a dozen online free risk assessment programs where you just punch in your details that are going to be on your spec sheets for the project. It's going to tell you recommendation or not. You would be able to print that out and submit that. I was a previous building official. I accepted those all the time. So the cost would be minimal to zero. The owner could do it themselves. I would also mention that, think about what he said there. He said that if you put in the criteria for assisted living facility, almost all the time it's going to suggest that a lightning protection system's needed. So what does that tell you? It tells you that there's high risk associated with those type of structures. On Ms. Anderson's comments, I'll just mention that as a previous building official in the city of Northport down in Southwest Florida, one of our largest buildings, highest occupancies, was an assisted living facility that had a multi-story memory care unit. There was no on-site nursing, so that means no trained staff, like hospitals and nursing homes have, to evacuate, call emergency services, get to areas of refuge, all that good stuff that they go through, that they get NFPA training on. They don't have that assisted living facility. So you're going to have all these persons that need assisted living that aren't getting it. Again, only for these really large, big, robust structures that are really similar to nursing homes. They're not, but they're really similar. All those other small occupancies can risk assessment out. I did a bunch of modeling on the small ones based on some of the criteria that came in these comments, and it is possible to risk analysis yourself out of this rule. Thank you.
I just only one collective opportunity
for not you. I'm talking to John.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
We allow only one collective, and Brian took it as a punt, and the opponents have only one collective as well.
I just want to clear, Joe Belcher, Florida Home Builders Association. I just want to clarify. I did not say that almost all ALFs would require lightning protection. What the gentleman said at the lightning protection work group was that almost all buildings would require lightning protection when you do that assessment. It's almost foolproof that if you do the assessment, you're going to wind up, which tells me that's not really a very good assessment, except for selling lightning protection product. That is good. It is good for that. It is good for sales. Thank you.
Okay, back to the TAC. If you support comment A2, which reverses your previous action, you would raise your hands. One. And if you don't support it, raise your hands. All right, so it's 1-5, not in support of the comment retaining your original recommendation. All right, Skip, are you ready? I hope so. With 7686, there's two comments, maybe between you and Scott. Scott, you submitted an A4. Is it the similar situation where you made a few tweaks to get to A2?
Yes.
So we should just go with the A4 comment then. Is that correct, Scott?
Well, yeah.
Skip, are you good with that?
This is, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what. It's 7686.
You submitted a comment A2. Afterwards, Scott used your base template.
It's the those are the same. We're putting back information that should have been put back, but they're both the same comment. I mean, they're both doing the same thing.
Right. I think he may have made a couple of minor tweaks to yours.
Yes.
So A4.
Yes.
All right. Any additional public comment? Scott, do you want to say anything on it? All right, if you support comment A4, please raise your hands. That's 6-0 in support of A4. Okay. Don, you're up next. There's 7729. I believe you submitted two comments, A7 and A4.
Yes, I want to just propose A7 stand alone by itself. I made a correction to A4. I submitted A4 and then moment I pointed out there was a small mistake in A4, so I corrected that and submitted A7.
Okay.
And this was it was not approved last time again because it was referencing a reference. It's not a reference in the building code, so we made copies of the charts from the ICC code, ICC green code, which is not referenced in the building code. And so now those charts are now, I'm proposing to put them into 453.
Okay. Anybody from the public wish to comment? In favor or opposition? Seeing none, back to the TAC. If you're in support of comment A7, raise your hands, please. All right, it's 6-0 in support of the comment. Alternate 7. Okay. AD38, there's a comment A1 from Joseph Garrity. Is anybody here representing Joseph Garrity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Made some proposed change language to the.
Go ahead. Just a second. Go ahead and say your name.
Go ahead. Joseph Garrity.
Okay.
We made a proposed change based on Commissioner Whitehead's concerns in the prior comment, G1. Where we added that it could be this particular change would make this type 5 construction also have to comply with being not susceptible to decay or termite damage or to be fully compliant with the sections of the Florida Building Code regarding protection against decay and termites, which was the main concern in comment G1. So it would have to comply with Florida Building Code 2304.121 through 2304.127 in order to be allowed as a type 5 building for relocatable. What we have is, what we're trying to figure out here is we have materials that are not lightweight wood that may be used for these relocatables, but they're still combustible. And I understand that the main concern is that there's a lightweight wood being used that is not going to be protected from termite damage or decay, that won't have the same useful life. So we're looking at trying to put in language that wouldn't allow materials that would be susceptible to decay or termite damage, or be fully compliant in other ways to prevent that decay or damage. And that's the purpose of the amended proposed language.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak in favor of the proposal? Yes, Mr. Gerwig. Shane. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Shane Gerwig, Orange County Division of Building Safety, Building Official. However, I'm speaking on my own behalf today. I am in support of the amended language proposed under the A1 text amendment. I believe this fully addresses any type of concerns regarding termites and or other insects and everything regarding wood rot or decay. I believe this right here could be construed as a discrimination of materials and everything. And another thing is, too, is building officials have the ability to kind of look at alternate means and methods depending on the situation and everything. And I believe that Mr. Garrity's proposal effectively addresses the issue regarding sprinklers. You know, whenever we're considering, as a building official, whenever I'm considering an alternate means and methods, and somebody puts sprinklers on the table, it makes it very conducive then at that point. So we want to be able to take a good look at that, you know. And another thing is, too, is schools also have excellent emergency plans whenever it comes to fire protection and everything, such as, you know, they're used to getting the students out of the classroom relatively quickly, and especially where this is a portable type situation and everything, they'll be able to remove them from the structure very, very, very quickly. Another thing is, as well, too, is we believe that this decision should go to the local school boards rather than this right here, because the under Florida Building Code 453.2.1, the ownership of the buildings resides with local school boards, as well as we're going to take a look at Florida Building Code Section 453.1, which talks about local school boards can actually make their rules more stringent than the Florida Building Code. So, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your time. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anybody else wish to speak in support of the proposal?
Sure. Jesse Lappin-Bertoni with Elite Aluminum. I would like the commission to consider the factor and support the amendment and support putting it forward with the consideration that this does not force any district at all at any point to have to take Type 5 construction. It's still the district's option on purchasing, procuring, accepted, but this allows Type 5 construction with fire sprinkler protection, which, again, as the building official stated, and I'm a NFPA certified fire protection specialist as well as a fire inspector, you put sprinklers in a building, you increase the life safety of that building for both the occupants and the contents. And the sprinklers, not only do they provide protection for the property, but they provide to keep the environment tenable for people to evacuate. So we're talking about the modulars here. So the time needed for the people to evacuate, it's a given fact that the sprinklers will keep the environment tenable for long enough for anybody to evacuate. And then that sprinklers typically, one to two sprinkler heads on normal, non-accelerated fires, put out the damage. So you've got the option of a different construction type with a higher level of protection. And again, this is just the option, but it allows a school district to select one of these modular building programs as their option. That the school district could put out a bid saying we only want type 1 or 2, or they could put out a bid we just want something that is FRS accepted through the modular building program, and then manufacturers, builders, designers have the option of putting forth the type 5 building with the caveat that it of course has sprinkler protection, which again is a higher level of protection. I do recognize that districts do have the option in the beginning of SREF of alternative methods of construction that provide equal or greater level to the code as long as it meets the requirement, but that would require each district to then conduct thorough plan review, investigation, and analysis, whereas if a manufacturer were to get their modular approved with the Florida Modular Building Program, 1 minute. Thank you, sir. sorry if I'm long-winded, folks, then, you know, that streamlines the process. And again, this does not force this upon a district, and this is not a step down in safety. This is a step up in safety with another option. The step up is that sprinklers will be included if they select to use type 5, and there is no loss for life safety. So I hope that the commission considers the recommendations that we took from the chair's comments last time and pushes this through, or the committee, sorry, pushes this through to the commission for a full vote. Thank you.
All right, anybody else wish to speak in favor of alternate one? All right, anybody wish to speak in opposition? And if the proponent wants a rebuttal, please be prepared to come up after.
Get ready, Shane.
Everyone's
going to
do it. I think
I understand.
The first choice on that.
Joe Belcher, and I'm representing the Masonry Association of Florida and the Florida Independent Concrete and Associated Products Associations. And I want to say right up front, we're not building relocated without a concrete or block. This is not a materials issue here. Okay? I've told this group before, and I've told the commission. This is not discrimination of materials in the code. This is not the code that's doing this. When the legislature created the Florida Building Commission, mandated the creation of the Florida Building Code, they told all you people that are at this table, the state agency heads, to take all their construction material requirements and put them in the code. A number of agencies did not like that idea and tried to fight it, which those of us that were there at the time know about. They didn't win that fight. But the commission did make sure, or the legislature did make sure, you had input to the commission to keep your special criteria in the code, because I think one of the things, like what DOE was worried about, was that what's happening right now is was going to happen, that their standards were going to be reduced by material interests, you know, product suppliers and things of that nature. DOE has had this requirement for non-combustible construction since the early 70s, as far as I know. It's something they came up with because they're responsible for the long-term proper expenditure of taxpayer money that the school district will spend. And they're wanting to see the buildings going to last. They don't want to have to, in 20 years, tear them down or totally rebuild them or do those sorts of things. So what they've done is said, let's take materials that will give us that sustainability, and that's what they recommend. Just a couple of items. I addressed the discrimination. The alternate methods that Commissioner Gerwig, I call him Shane because he's my friend, brought up. Building officials really don't have the right to totally disregard something that's specifically required by the code for another system unless it provides the equivalence. And sprinklers do not provide an equivalent fire resistance. It just doesn't happen. Yes. Okay. Schools have old emergency plans. Well, that's nice. The division should be left at the local school board. That's why the legislature gave DOE the charge to write these kinds of rules. They want to make sure that local school boards are spending that taxpayer money correctly. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else in opposition? All right. Would the proponent wish a rebuttal opportunity? The opponent may have one as well. You're deferring to.
I am.
Yes. Very good. Hi. No, Jesse Lapp and Bertone again, Ali Aluminum. In response to Mr. Belcher's comments, I do not feel that the standards are being reduced. You are requiring the standards, the primary goal of standards in place, the primary focus of anything is, you know, you have your two tiers. Life safety is above your property conservation tier in all cases, in all methods of code enforcement. That is even the standard in public safety emergency response, which is my background side tirade there. So this is not a reduction in the life safety. The life safety standard is not being reduced. The second item that I just wanted to comment on is he talks about the fire resistance. While a type 5 construction type building itself may not be as fire resistant in the materials, your fire will not spread because there are sprinklers that will contain the fire if it's a normal fire. And again, I'm using the exemption because an accelerated fire, somebody going pouring gasoline or something like that, is not what the code intends to protect. The building codes, the fire codes, intend to protect from a single source of accidental fire cause with an expected fuel load given the occupancy and construction type. So In a modular building, you have your classroom, educational occupancy. Your fire sprinklers will protect the structure from an expected fire source, excluding criminal acts such as arson. The other issue to consider with fire resistance is nothing is exempting what is already in place in the Florida Building Fire Code, in the Florida Building Code, sorry, for separation requirements of a Type 5 structure. So if you're concerned about the other Type 5 structures, how they used to just pile the wood portables onto each other with 6 foot, 3 foot separation, trust me, I went to school during those days. I'm a product of Florida public schools during the construction boom. This is not the case. The separation requirements contained for Type 5 structures are still, there's no exemption for that. So what is in place right now for a Type 5 structure, whether it be a 30-foot separation, a 15-foot separation, depending on, 1 minute, thank you, sir, again, that is still in place. So a standards reduction, I am in disagreement with. If anything, this is an equivalent or a higher level of protection, and we're allowing this higher or equivalent level of protection to be an option, again, an option in the modular building program so that a modular building can get approved by the modular building program, and if a school district so chooses so, has an option of accepting, utilizing, contracting, acquiring a Type 5 sprinkler structure. I think that's it. Mr. Whitehead, though, you look like you've got a question for me. No. Okay.
All right. So
thank you.
Does the opponent wish a rebuttal, and then we'll come back and get back to determine whether they wish to vote in favor of A1, which is kind of reversed.
Very quickly. I don't need to do 3 minutes. The gentleman mentioned it, assuming it's a normal fire or a usual fire. He's also assuming that the sprinkler system activates. They do have manual shutoff valves. They have been known to be shut off, especially when there's arson involved. So, you know, it's not a passive system, it's an active system. So, and believe me, I'm for sprinklers. I'm for fire resistance and sprinklers. I say build them non-combustible and sprinkler them. So, thank you.
That's
Mr.
it.
Chair, can I rebut on
that? No, you may not.
Comment there?
You may
okay.
not.
Thank you.
Very good. Coming back to the TAC.
I just want to say a couple sure. things. In regard to Commissioner Gerwig's reference to alternative materials and methods of construction, if you look in the front of SRAF, it requires the approval of DOE for any alternative methods to SRAF. So if anything, and 453 is part of SRAF, as the title of 453 is as included in 1013 fire statutes, includes 453 as part of SRAF. And any alternatives to that not only requires a building official approval, but also spells out that as we submitted to DOE for approval prior to submittal for permit application. And I just want to reference that. And this has not been submitted to us for any kind of approval for alternative means or methods of construction or materials. And we're still in the same position as we were before.
So you don't support it.
Right.
Okay. Support. All right. Does anybody else have any comments, members, before we actually take the vote? If you support A1, which is in essence reversing the previous action, raise your hands. If you don't support it, raise your hands. All right. Is 0-6 not in support of the comment containing previous action? All right. We move on to 8213. A general comment was submitted saying that they don't support this, but you didn't vote for it, so no comments actually needed. But if anybody in the public wishes to comment on 8213, now's your chance. All right, then back to the TAC. If you believe no comments needed, raise your hands, please. All right, 6-0, no comment needed. All right, next is 8281. One comment is requesting a reversal of your action, which is not to approve. One is saying keep your previous action. Does anybody from the public wish to comment? Yes, sir. Commissioner Shane, really, this is, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Shane Gerwig again, building official for Orange County Division of Building Safety. However, I'm representing myself on this particular modification. I'm speaking primarily to comment G3. However, there's some information in G2 that's applicable to this as well. We're at the same position as the mod two mods ago. However, you know, one of the comments to G2 the last part of it says is the wood industry just wants to sell more wood. I don't necessarily know that there's indeed the case, because the manufacturers and product manufacturers and everything play a big role whenever it comes to new technology and product modifications and modifications to the code. You know, a couple things that come to mind is, you know, pull entrapment systems and everything. You know, manufacturers really played a large part to the aether in order to make pools safer. You know, so, and what it does is it provides for reasonable safety as well as CPV sprinkler lines. CPV sprinkler lines has helped make the multifamily industry, sprinkler systems within the multifamily industry, affordable as well, too, and it works, and it proves it works. And that kind of goes back to the provisions. It's covered under statute 553.72. You know, it talks about reasonable protection for health, safety, and welfare, and, you know, and also includes a couple other highlights within that same section. It says that the cost must be reasonable in order for it to be considered within the code. It also talks about should be affordable, and then it should not inhibit competition. And then 553.73 goes on to, it can't discriminate against products, methods, or systems of construction. However, I believe this particular situation does, because with a type 1 or type 2 building, you're not able to use combustible products or combustible materials within the system, or only on the limited means. Now, one of the challenges with that is there are other provisions throughout the rest of the code that specifically address educational occupancies whenever it gets to the height and area tables and such that would apply to. So I know we may have some conflicts with some language that's covered under SREF, but we want to kind of focus on the language that's included in the building code. You know, another thing is, too, is with Floor Building Code 101.3, the maintenance isn't necessarily justification for applicability within the building code. I know that maintenance has came up, you know, regarding termite treatments and regarding bugs and everything that
30 seconds.
Okay, thank you. That information has already been covered through other parts of the code. Again, I'll go back to 453.2.1. Ownership is based on the local school board, and we should leave the options up to the local school boards to depend on how they want to do in order to save the cost. There may be significant costs that we're not realizing at this point in order to get schools done quicker and everything in order to serve the communities. And then, again, 453.1 says the local school board can have more stringent requirements. And then if there's any questions regarding the structural design, 453.9 in Florida Building Code specifically says that the structural design, it has to be as the same as the other buildings. So, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your time, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Anybody else wish to speak in support of comment G3, which is asking for a rose hill? Anybody wish to speak in opposition of that and in support of maintaining your current recommendation?
Joe Belcher, representing the Masonry Association of Florida and the Florida Independent Concrete and Associated Products Association. This time, I will admit these guys do have some interest in the material side of it. However, I'm not going to go through that whole spiel again. This is not a code requirement. The requirement for public schools to be non-combustible construction is not a code requirement. It's in the code, but it was a rule long before the Florida Building Code came around. And then the legislature mandated that state agencies put their rules of construction in the code, but then they also put them on the commission to try to maintain those things. The legislature has deemed that DOE is necessary to safeguard the manner in which local school districts expend taxpayers' dollars. And they think that this requirement is the better way to do that. Thank you. I'll rest that.
Commissioner Gerber, would you like a rebuttal opportunity?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Shane Gerwig, Orange County Division of Building Safety, representing myself. I just want to remind you, and we'll go back to based on Mr. Belcher's comments regarding the applicability and the legislative intent. The legislative intent given under for the Floor Building Code under Section 553.72, it's very specific, and it wants to allow effective and reasonable protection for public safety, health, and general welfare for all of the people of Florida at the most reasonable cost to the consumer. And then it goes on to make sure that the provisions of the code is affordable and does not inhibit competition and promotes innovation and new technology. Again, Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for addressing the
rebuttal to the appropriateness of new information.
I'll pass.
Very good. Then we come back to the TAC. It will vote on G3 whether to reverse your previous action.
Sure,
comments. Absolutely.
One thing, that the wood industry has gone to the legislature 3 years in a row and saying that this is a conflict with statute 553 and discrimination against materials, and all 3 years it has failed in committee and it has not even reached the floor of the House or the Senate. So they've made their decision that 3 years in a row they've told them that this is, it reflects, it does not discriminate against section 553 as far as statutes.
All right, any other questions or comments? All right, if you wish to reverse and support a comment G3, you vote yes. Say no. If you wish to retain, you vote no. 0-6, non-supportive comment G3 for reversal. All right, our final one is 7363, which is a G4 comment.
Yeah.
7363, which is requesting a reversal of your no affirmative recommendation. Mr. Holland, you're...
Yes. Brian Holland, NEMA Code and Standards, asking you to oppose G4, reaffirm your NAR on this. From what I understand, this issue is in conflict with Florida statutes regulating accessibility in elevators, and two, the standard that is referenced in the statutes is being updated to address this issue. So I think no comment is needed on this. Thank you so much, everybody.
All right. Anybody else wish to speak? Yes, sir.
In support of Brian's statement.
All right. Anybody else? Have any alternatives? So going back, if you support G4, which is for reversal, you vote yes. But if you no, you retain your current, raise your hands. Very confused.
Yeah.
Okay, so the comment was saying you should revert. So what you did on this is you voted against it, no affirmative recommendation. The commenter is saying, I want you to reverse it and approve the amendment. The public is saying, do what you currently did. Retain what you have. So your choice is, if you want to reverse your previous action, you vote yes. If you want to retain it, you vote no. So those who want to reverse their previous action, raise your hands. That's nobody. Those who wish to retain their previous action, raise your hands now. That's 0-6, non-supportive comment. I know it's a little confusing, that's why I say it. Okay, is there any other general comment or any other TAC comment? Mr. Chairman, I think you can adjourn.
Well, so appreciate everyone's participation and preparedness. Yes, Tony?
It was a response to something not on the agenda, I guess.
Yes, there's an email previous to the meeting about the Pinellas County amendment. I believe we handled that at the last meeting in March.
Yes.
Am I correct, Mom?
Which amendment? I'm sorry.
The Pinellas County amendments to the Florida Building Code, we did not accept any of those.
The only one that came in through is for comments is this. Otherwise, everything stays as you guys, based on your actions at the March meeting.
That's your question. In fact, the commission never
heard of that amendment.
So we're adjourned, I guess. Thank you, everybody.
Appreciate it.